Good morning. I am Glenn Albright. I'm an associate professor at Baruch College, which is one of the senior colleges of City University of New York. My colleague, Monica Eros Sarnay, who unfortunately cannot be here, she's from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And this talk today really is about a very special partnership that was formed between the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in New York City, and the vendor Cognito Interactive in developing a resource to train primary care physicians in how to pick up psychological trauma in their patients and how to manage those patients' care. Before I continue, I do have something to disclose. I do have a horse in this race, if you will, for I'm a co-founder and director of applied research at Cognito Interactive, who developed the training resource. So a little bit about the problem statement, which is not going to be surprising to you, that there are 57 million American adults with a diagnosable mental health disorder. That's about a quarter of the population. 62% go untreated. And New York City especially realizes that the surge of patients who have psychological trauma increases after a traumatic event. This was particularly evidenced in 9/11. It was re-evidenced after Hurricane Sandy last year about this time. So they became very proactive and wanted to do something to help these patients who were experiencing psychological trauma but presenting to the primary care physicians with physical complaints. The physical complaints were masking the psychological distress, if you will. So PCPs are in an excellent position to do that because of their first point of care for nearly half the U.S. population. So they are positioned ideally. So how are you going to train a primary care physician who has limited time in how to identify signs of psychological trauma and manage care of their patients under them? First, you have to understand that communication skills are at the core of changing health behaviors. So the physician has to be trained not only to identify the psychological trauma, but how do you approach the patient? How do you have that conversation with them? How do you build intrinsic motivation with them? And how you manage their care after you discovered a trauma-based injury, if you will. So one of the best ways to train someone in these skills is through role play simulations, where you get feedback from a coach. You were just talking about the effectiveness of a coach a little while ago. Practicing role plays is important, but they're hard because you've got to find a place to do it. It takes time. You have to find a really good trainer to standardize the high-end process. And it's impossible. There's 7,000 primary care physicians in New York City. You can't provide role plays like that. So there was a decision being made to go to a computerized role play conversation where you interact with virtual patients. And we train primary care physicians and the people who work in their offices in motivational interviewing skills, which nicely can be done in the office. They're short and they're effective and they're evidence-based. How these simulations are developed is by a proprietary human interaction game engine. This game engine creates virtual environments where the learner is placed in the environment and they interact with avatars that are emotionally responsive. They have memory. They have personality. They will react like real people. So you role play in the safety of your own home or office, if you will, because a lot of times when people role play, they get like a little bit self-conscious, right? And it's not always approximates the real context that you'll have these role plays in. So it's easily accessible. And it's available, of course, online and vis-a-vis mobile devices. So embedded within this training is not only MI, motivational interviewing, but ESPERT training. Are you familiar with ESPERT, right, for screening, behavioral intervention, and referral to treatment, evidence-based way of dealing with patients in primary care, or in another resource we developed in training ED personnel on how to identify depression, suicidal ideation, and substance abuse in the emergency room, and then to be able to manage the care of those patients. So in both of these resources, you have 1.5 CMEs or CNEs as one incentive to taking the program. So let me give you a demonstration of the technology so you can get a better idea. So does it work? In a actually, it's an ongoing study. We showed that physicians, when you do pre, post, and follow-up, they were able, or there was an increase in their ability to identify risk factors of trauma-related mental health disorders. And what I mean by trauma-related, we're talking about PTSD, generalized anxiety disorder, depression, often accompanied by suicidal ideation, and substance use. To be able to screen for these mental health disorders, to engage in collaborative decision-making about treatment options, to build intrinsic motivation so patients follow treatment, so if a referral is made, that they follow up on that treatment. And there was a report, self-report of the increase in the number of patients that were screened and referred for mental health care. So what's pretty cool about this, it addresses a lot of concerns that people in primary care settings have, that they don't have enough time, so it's available all the time. There's no risk of hosting or no problems like there. There's CME as part of the motivation for taking it, usage and tracking reports. And the nice thing about going online is you can integrate all types of assessment. You can do a pre, you can do a post, you can do a 3, 6, 12-month follow-up to nicely track behaviors and the sustainability of learning. Just one last thing since I have 2 minutes. Okay, but just to kind of like talk a little bit about this model of learning using avatar-based simulation technology. We have probably 15 simulations, 3 of them in the National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices, 9 of them are in the Suicide Prevention's Resource Center Best Practices. Do they work? Well, we did a meta-analysis that involved over 9,000 users combining responses from 5 different programs, and the effect size was profound in terms of preparing people to engage in mental health preventative behaviors or screening behaviors, in terms of building up self-efficacy or self-confidence that you have in yourself, because you have to have that confidence before you'll engage in the actual behaviors, and then in the behavior change. So we're really excited about the potential of this technology, and this is the first time we've been at this conference, to be able to help you to be able to meet public health concerns. We think it's the fact that it's geographically easily dispersed, you can do it at home, is like really kind of cool. That's it. Thank you.